Glory to God. That's the goal. Be like Him. Be like Jesus. People say, oh, that's impossible. Well, we've been made new creatures. And we're in a process to become more and more like Him. Growing up. That's what we're going to be talking about some. Let's go ahead and turn over to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. So, we're just going to kind of segue from what we've been talking about, teaching on the last number of weeks. Not completely unrelated, but we'll pick up a little bit of the things that we were covering. And then segue a little bit different directions. Ephesians 4:11. We just got done with the series Guard Your Heart. If you didn't hear those, I encourage you to go back and listen. Now, verse 11, Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And He Himself gave some prophet, or some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." For what? "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying," or the building up, "of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." Now, when you see that word perfect, in Scripture so many times, it's not talking about that you're perfect, like, you know, you got 100 on a test. Perfect. I mean, you drew, you know, colored in all the lines perfectly, perfect type of thing. What it means is mature, complete. And when you see it, that'll help you. So, and you know, here it's not saying that we're going to all, every person's going to come to the unity of the faith. If you're waiting for that to happen, not going to happen on the earth right now with all the different things. But we're talking about coming to a fullness and a maturity in Him, each person. "And of the knowledge of the Son of God." Of course, when we get to heaven, that's a different story. "Of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." See, that's our goal, to be like Him. Verse 14, "That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." That's a sentence, isn't it? Woo. "Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look over to 1 Peter 1. We're just going to read a few scriptures and we're going to comment on them. We're kind of just getting into this thing. We're going to, you know, fly over, introduce some things, and then we'll get into some things, I believe. But 1 Peter, let's go ahead and turn over to 1 Peter 2. First Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." That you may grow thereby. How are we going to grow? The word. It's not just what the word, you need to do something with it, but we need the word. He likens it here to babies desiring, they need milk to grow. We just read in Ephesians that we should be growing up, how? By speaking, having the truth spoken in love. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians 3. Let's take the time to turn to some of these. 1 Corinthians 3. First Corinthians 3, it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal." It means natural. "For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" So he said there, I could not speak to you as spiritual people. Notice that. But as carnal. Or as natural. So he had to speak to them as natural people. As to babes or babies. He said, I couldn't speak to you like grown-ups. I had to speak to you like babies. And notice he said, I couldn't speak to you like spiritual people. I had to speak to you like natural people. And then he said, I had to speak to you like babies, not like somebody that's grown up. He said, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. Not with strong meat. "For until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are not able." Look at Hebrews 5, verse 12. Hebrews 5, verse 12. Says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or the sayings of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." Is that just like what we just read? You need milk. Well, what would that mean? They're babies. Verse 13, "For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age," or mature. "That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So we see the same thing here. "You have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes of only milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe." Go over to Galatians 1, or 6, verse 1. We're gonna get into this thing, but we're just laying a few scriptures down beforehand. And like I said, today we're introducing this anyway. Galatians 6, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, brethren, if a man is overtaken or caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Notice it says, if anybody's overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual. This is what I wanted to emphasize there. Somebody that's spiritual, well, with some of the other scriptures, is somebody that's spiritual natural? No. We're spiritual, but what does that mean? Are they, like in Corinthians we saw, are they somebody that's spiritual? Is that mature or is that a baby? Not a baby. So you see the concept here. We started in Ephesians. Go back to Ephesians. Just look on your sheet there, and you can put it up. Ephesians 4. Let's read through this again now after we've read these other ones. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or the building up the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man or mature, growing up. What could you also say? If it's mature from the other scriptures, what is that? Spiritual. A spiritual person. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Was Jesus spiritual?
Yes.
Was Jesus mature?
Yes.
Of course he was. That we should no longer be, what? Children. Well, if you're not children, if you're not child, what are you? You're growing up. So we looked, we saw babes. We see children. We see mature. There's a growth process, but we're not talking about natural. We're not talking about what you look like on the outside. That we should no longer be children, what? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. The word is the truth. Right? Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, your word is truth. We looked at those scriptures last week. The word is truth. Jesus is the word. You're speaking the truth in love. You're speaking the word. And we just said that the pure milk of the word, that you would what? Grow. That's what it's saying here, that speaking the truth in love may grow up into all, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. So we're going to touch on this some and talk about being spiritual, being strong in spirit, growing up spiritually. You know, what does that mean? Because a lot of people have a lot of misconceptions about this. And one of the most confusing things is that you can have a baby, a spiritual baby, in a 50-year-old physical body. You can have a spiritual baby in a 20-year-old body. You could have a spiritual baby in a 95-year-old body. And this is what's confusing to people. They look at somebody and go, man, that guy's been a Christian for 40 years. That's a solid person. Not necessarily. At all. Because it doesn't have anything to do with your physical body. It doesn't have anything to do with when you got born again. Did we not read? There were people that Paul, well, the writer of Hebrews said, you ought to be teachers by now, but you're not. I got to go back and give you milk. He's saying you ought to be further, but you're not. Is it possible to be born again spiritually, be a new person spiritually for a long time, but be a baby? Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby. Everybody is a baby at some point. Right? You have to be. We're all babies. Naturally, You can just say, look at that baby. I mean, it's just a baby. No, that's not what people say. They say, ooh, a baby. Right? Especially the ladies are like, ooh, a baby. I mean, the guys like them too, but it's just a different thing. And God put that. You know, this whole thing about men and women are exactly the same, and it's all just your upbringing, that's the complete junk. You watch how a little girl holds a doll. And if you give a doll to a little boy, he's dragging it around by the hair and it's bouncing on it. That is not the way a little girl just knows what to do. You could say that straight. No, it is not. It is innate. God put it in little girls, little boys, men and women. They're different. It is not just upbringing. That is nonsense. It's foolishness. Anybody just thinks a little bit sees that's not true. And we have confused it. Oh my goodness, have we confused it now. And these teenagers don't know up from down. They think they're something else every day because it's been encouraged in a godless society, and it is hurting people. Big time. Poor kids. They need an adult to come up and say, son, you're a boy. That's not changing. I don't care what your name is and what you do. Girl, you're a girl, and there are girls and boys. That's it. And we got how many... It's all, not just two now. They got, well, there's all these things. Nonsense. Not looking at the Word. The Word clearly states otherwise. But no, little babies. It's okay to be a baby. When you get born again, it's okay to be a baby. But it's not okay if it's 40 years later and you're still a baby. That's not okay. And unfortunately, there's a lot of babies in the body of Christ. See, with natural human growth, you will grow up. Just if you have a little bit of sustenance, you can grow up. You know, your body's going to grow. But not necessarily spiritually. You can get born again, not do anything with it, and 30 years later, same state or worse. But your body has aged. And people say, well, I was born again 30 years ago. I remember such and such. And people, they listen to them talk a little bit. And if you're not spiritual, if you're not discerning, think, wow, that guy, that gal, they know something. And they're babies. Don't know anything. If you could see them in the spiritual realm, you'd say, that's a little baby. But the thing with spiritual growth is, one of the things is people, and this you can see this in the natural. Kids have a tendency to think they're further than they are and want to be. Right? Not just looking at you, even though it's true. You know, kids, they want to be further. You know, you got a 5-year-old, they're going to tell you. They're 5 1/2 or 3/4. 40-year-olds usually don't do that. I'm 40 3/4. No, that's not, if they're going to round, it's going to be down. You know, you're 40 and 364, 365ths, and you're going to say, I'm 40. You're not going to say I'm 41, no. Right? But kids are the opposite. Babies don't know up from down. They're just there. They don't know. Teenagers, in general, I got good teenagers, but, you know, still teenagers. You know, when I was a teenager, I saw this, you know, there was a bumper sticker or something that says, here, quick, hire a teenager before they don't know it all, you know, while they still know it all. Hire a 13-year-old while they still know everything. Hire a teenager while they think they know everything. Do they know everything? But do they think they do?
We all did. I mean, you think you know more than you do. You think, man, my parents and these people, they got to get it figured out. If they just do this and this, and you don't know anything about how the world works. Most teenagers. I mean, you know, you got kids that have done certain things and may have certain abilities and skills, but as far as maturity overall, you really don't know about life. And they're susceptible and gullible. Because there's a new one born every minute, and there's people that know this. And they can prey on the zeal of a teenager or a young person. And, you know, people do all that. Well, you get after this, and they're just using them. But young girls are susceptible to, you know, men lying to them and thinking, well, they just, you know, I'll just tell them this, and you love them. And it's there's not an experience. But you get somebody that's mature, looks at situations different. Right? And they can see stuff that the kids don't. Right? A child can look at a situation, they're hardly seeing anything. Teenager may be seeing other things, but they don't see a whole lot either. And they may think, the problem is they think they know stuff that they don't know. They don't really know, but they have enough knowledge to be dangerous. Generally speaking, teenagers and kids, they're going to see things differently than an adult. And that's just normal. You explain a situation or a situation's going on, an adult can look at it and they don't even, you know, two adults can look at each other, don't even have to say anything. Like let's say two teenagers were explaining some situation or kids explaining something in the presence of adults. Two adults can look at each other without even a word. They know what's going on. And the kids don't think they see this. The kids will think parents are ignorant or whatever. Why would the parents know what's going on? Because they've been there before. They've thought the same stuff that these kids have. And so when the kids, you ever seen every kid has done this, they try to act like they're asleep and their eyelids are kind of fluttering and stuff. They're not fooling anybody, but they think they are, right? The same thing, you know, all you could make it, you could talk about any number of situations where a kid thinks he's putting something past, even if it's not an outright lie, just talking about it and think the parents don't know. Like they're describing a situation at school and, well, you know, the kids are talking about this. Like you have no clue and you've never been around certain things and you just wouldn't understand, really. Don't understand. Do they not realize you've been there? You've had all the feelings they've had. You've seen the stuff. And you see some things. If you're mature, as an adult, you see some things. Well, this is a very close parallel with spirituality. See, the human being, and we've talked a little bit about this, we're kind of picking up. We talked about this. We are a spirit being. Okay? We live in a body. We have a soul. But we are a spirit. Let's turn over. Let's not turn over. For the sake of time, let's look on your sheet. It's near the end. Genesis 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. Read a few of these scriptures. Kind of attach where we've been to where we're going. Genesis 1, 26 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.' So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." God created man in his own image. Now look at the scripture right above that on your sheet. John 4, 23. It says, "But the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit." Now, this in the New King James, it says is spirit. You can read a number of other translations
It says a spirit. God is a spirit being. He isn't like vapor, like spirit. I think people get the New Age kind of just, you know, boo-boo, this kind of something out there we don't know. But no, God's not that. God's a person. Jesus came to the earth, and the Bible says if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. The Bible says we're made in His likeness. Well, His likeness what? Well, He's a spirit. We're made in His, when you see the real you, you're made in the class of, same class as God. We're not animals. This contradicts anything, you know, I know to throw out the Bible anyway, but there are Christians that have said, well, you know, maybe God used these other things to create man. Why does God have to use a process of death over many years? He's got the power to create something. He doesn't have to have things, half mutants walking around and dying over and over and over through millennia. That is a false, that is a lie. It's a false idea. God, that is a slap in the face to the Almighty. He doesn't need to just keep trying over and over and letting stuff suffer and die. Imagine all these half-developed things. No, He created men and women. He designed them. And He created the animal kingdom. He created animals, but they're separate from men. We are not evolved out of apes. That's a lie. And that's a lie that has driven horrible destruction in this earth. Because people that have adhered to that don't value human life. And there have been governments that have tried to drive God out because for this very reason, you don't value, you're just another species, you're just another animal that's evolved. We're really no different than the birds and the whales and everything. It's just that we've evolved further. And so that puts less of a value on human life. But you say every person is created in the image of God, that's different. And that's what's tried to be stamped out. It's not just men. It's motivated by the devil. And it's a lie. We are in the image of God Almighty. So we are different. We are different. And so, yes, God has made the earth for man. Now, we shouldn't figure out how fast we can mess the place up. On the other hand, people have gone to serving the earth. Mother Earth, that's a misnomer. It's not Mother Earth. God is our Father. If you're a Christian, He's not the father of those that are not saved. The Bible says, Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil, when He was talking to some of the most religious people around. But no, God created men. Men rebelled against God, and then Jesus came so that we could be reconciled with Him and be created new. What part of us was created new? Our spirit. Now we saw this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. On your sheet there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Well, we've said this. We're just kind of laying the going forward. If anyone is in Christ, when you become born again, well, he talks about in John 3, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. Well, your physical body isn't new. Unfortunately, it's not new. You have the same body when you get born again as you did right before getting born again. Your mind's the same. But your spirit's new. It's been recreated. It's new. Well, you're a baby. You may have lived on the earth for 37 years, but when you get born again, you're new. A new birth happened. You're born again. Your spirit was recreated, reborn. But you're nothing with your body. That's why you've been on this earth for how many years when you got born again? But now your spirit's new. Well, just because your spirit doesn't catch up to your chronological age when you become born again. So in other words, you're 10 years old, you get born again, you're 10 years old in the spirit. You're 73 when you get born again, well, you're a 73-year-old Christian. No, you're a baby, just like the 10-year-old. And this confuses people because they're like, they should know. Well, how long they've been around? What have they been fed? What have they exercised? See, it's our inward person. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:23 there. A little bit higher on your sheet. It says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Your whole spirit, soul, and body. We're a three-part being. We are a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Our spirit needs to be developed. And it's not automatic. There's so much money going to people developing their physical body, right? You can get any number of apps on your phone that will help you track what you're doing physically. The number of calories, the amount of protein, carbs, all the other stuff if you want, how many hours of exercise, where you're at, right? You can have any number of exercise programs that go on in gyms, and none of that's bad. I'm just saying there's a lot of effort to develop the human body. And then you have, good night, how many billions of dollars spent on developing the mind, education? Huh? People going to college, I mean, how much is being spent to develop the mind? Well, then how much is being spent to develop the spirit? You don't hear about this too much. But that is who we are. That's the real person. So, you don't get developed. Number one, you got to be born again. If you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, you're out of the race. I mean, we're going to live forever, but a person is going to go to hell, which is a real place. Forever, which blows your mind right there. We're saying forever, surely there's something, and people get off doctrine, like, oh, God, a God of love wouldn't send somebody to hell forever. He doesn't. It's a decision each person does. They reject Jesus. God didn't send them to hell. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell, but they will go to the place that's been designed for the devil and his angels because they listened to him and rebelled like he did. So that's where they end up. But we need to be born again. But once we're born again, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then we need to grow up. Now we start growing up. We need to grow. And it's not talked about. It's not talked about, I mean, in the general world, that we should be growing up spiritually. It's like, well, spirit. People throw around this term, too, and they don't know what they're talking about, according to the Bible. But yeah, you know, we believe in spiritual stuff, but that just means kind of whatever it means to you. You know? Well, there's a mind spirit, but we believe in the holistic, you know, your spirit. Well, what is that? And they don't even know, I mean, they're not talking about being born again, don't believe in Jesus, but we're talking about the spirit. Well, your spirit, if you don't know Jesus, is dead. It needs to be born again. But there's a process. We need to grow. We need to grow up. Be strong. Grow up strong and be strong spiritually. Let's just keep going. Ephesians, let's go ahead and turn over to Ephesians. And we're just introducing some things here. We'll just get into some of this and then, we'll see, take one step at a time. Praise God. If the Bible says we can grow, do we want to grow? Yes. Do we want to be spiritual or do we want to be carnal?
Spiritual.
We want to be spiritually strong or we want to be spiritually weak?
Strong.
We want to be strong. We want to be spiritual people. Really spiritual people. I mean really, I don't mean extremely. I mean for real. Not what some people call spiritual. Because you know what what some people call spiritual is just weird. It's weird. It's not mature. It's not biblical. It's not godly. It's just, you can quote some scriptures about it. But hasn't really changed your life. Not yours, you know, a person's life hasn't changed a life. Doesn't change their behavior. Doesn't change their relationships. Doesn't change them on the job. You know how many times I've heard that people would rather have a secular person working on the job than a Christian? Should that be?
No.
The Bible said that we don't want Jesus being blasphemed for your behavior. It should not be like, well, if that's what a Christian is, don't want any more of them. What would affect that? If a person's mature spiritually, they're not going to act like that. But a baby would. Or a child. Spiritually. Now, there's nothing wrong with being a baby, nothing wrong with being a child, nothing wrong with growing up. It's just, the problem is when you have people that think they're mature and they're not. And they're sitting in an older body. And people don't get it. And this is where people get messed up. It's not okay to stay at the same level forever. It's not okay at home, naturally, to stay at the same level forever, is it? If you're a baby, guess what? Everything gets done for you, right? And does anybody expect a baby to do anything? They get born, they're at the hospital. Well, there we go. We'll see you at home, little Joey. We're going. You can catch a taxi or something. They're just sitting there. They don't know anything. They got to be, everything has to be done for them. Is that right? Does anybody expect anything different? If you would get mad at the baby, one day old baby, for not doing something, would anybody think that's okay? No, they would not think that's okay. Because they're a baby. Right? That's not okay to get mad at them. Now, if they're 40 years old and they still want you to do everything for them, is that okay?
No.
That's not okay. That's not okay. I'm going to just have you do everything for me. Don't want to make any money. Don't want to help cook. Don't want to help clean. I'm just going to sit here and hang out. Is that okay? I'm just going to live off you. Is that okay? Is that okay? That's not okay. Well, spiritually, we're supposed to grow up. And we want to grow up, right? We want to. Do you want to? Do we want to have everybody do everything for us and be like, you know, baby, it may sound good, but the baby doesn't know they're being waited on hand and foot. They don't know how good they have it. But they also can't do anything. I mean, they have everybody doing stuff for them, but that's because they don't know how, they cannot do anything for themselves. So they don't get to build a relationship with somebody else, like have a discussion. They don't get to have children of their own because they're a baby. They don't get to put their hand to something and see the fruits of their labor. Why? Because they're a baby. Well, there are benefits with getting older and maturing. There are joys with getting older. You don't want to just stay. I mean, yeah, it's fun to be able to run around, you know, when you're a child and you get to go. You know, we had summer. Our summer was about 3 months. You get off of school and, man, when you're out of school, woo, summer. And we would just go out, and I mean, and when we were, it's not that long ago, but when we were growing up, my mom, we just get up, and we went outside, and we played, and we would just come in for meals, and that's about it. We just go outside and play. And we lived next to several empty lots, so they would have, you know, they had all these weeds out there, so we would go and do all kinds of stuff. We lived next to a golf course, so we would go and look for golf balls, and we'd sell those golf balls. But, I mean, you had to wear all these empty lots with weeds there, so when the golfers hit their balls in there, you know, they're done. They're out. Number one, they're out of the golf course, and they're in weeds. So, I mean, I'm talking, they would mow it every once in a while. But, you know, big weeds. So we would go there, and we're looking for the golf balls. And we put them in egg cartons, you know. And you get colored ones, you know, the green ones and the orange ones and white ones. And we thought the orange ones and green ones should be more expensive, but the golfers didn't think so because they're just like they're different colors. But we thought those were really cool. And then there was this one kind that was half green and half orange. And we were like, no, that's worth like three or four times as much. And the golfers were like, that's not even a good ball. You know, I'll take that Titleist, that white one right there if you give me that one. But we were selling them for a quarter. We tried to sell the colored ones for 50 cents, which golfers really didn't care because it's quarter 50 cents anyway, but it's better than the $3 they're paying at, you know, for a little bit at the store. So that's one of the things. We would go out there and do that. We had these lots. They dug some foundations, so they left the dirt of the foundation on the outside of the foundation, and then they didn't finish it. So we'd made those into bike trails. And so, you know, if you can imagine a big hole in the ground, you know, square or rectangle, and then on the outside, all the dirt from the excavation was on the outside. So we had all these bike trails on the outside of it. And there was one time I fell in, and it had rained for like a long time, and there's probably like, I don't know how much mud down there, and I fell in. That and my bike, and I was covered from head to toe in mud. And my dad has a picture. He thought it was funny. He was laughing at me. And before they washed me off, they took a picture of me. And I was like this. I was like, oh, my God. And so I have that picture, and they hosed me off. So we would just go out in the summer, and we just played. And we would play hide-and-go-seek at night. We would get dark clothes on, like sweatpants. And dark sweatpants and dark sweatshirt, and we had this block, this hill, and we would play when it was all after dinner, when it was all dark, and we played hide and go seek on the whole block. And you go and you're trying to play like, you know, being undercover, and it'd last a long time. We were playing hide and go seek. And then, I don't know, it was 9 or 10, we would come in. And that's what we did all summer. And that was pretty cool as a kid. But you know what? You can't do that forever. Eventually, you got to get a job. And eventually, my summers were, I'm going to work. And not that we didn't play at all, but we had to do something. And, you know, work for my dad, doing different things on the houses and work for other people. But, you know, and when you're even in college, we might have the summer off, but then, you know, eventually I was doing internships. And when you're an adult, summers, I mean, you know, some professions have summers, you know, different, but for most people, summer is, it's just a different time of the year, right? So your life changes, and it should, naturally. Well, spiritually, when people get born again, it's okay. They're going to need everything done for them. As far as spiritually, will you pray with me? Can you help me with this? Yeah, you expect it. But as they grow, you would expect changes. Starting to help with certain things. Starting to see things differently. And over somebody that says they've been born again 40 years, 30 years, if they've grown up spiritually, because it doesn't take 40 years to grow up spiritually. You can keep maturing, but to grow up and be mature, just like an adult. You're an adult, you can be an adult when you're 20, 22, but that's different than when you're 70, right? You're more seasoned, but you're still an adult, right? That doesn't mean you're at the pinnacle. But you're adult, but you're going to get more seasoned and better. Well, it's the same thing spiritually. You can grow up to where you're acting like an adult spiritually, but yeah, you still keep growing and you still keep maturing and you still keep adding, getting added to. It's very similar in the two realms, the natural and the spiritual. But look at Ephesians 3. Is this okay? Verse 14, Ephesians 3, verse 14 says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, what I want you to probably look at this at a different time and get into some things, but what I want you to notice, to be strengthened, in verse 16, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. If you're strong spiritually, if you're strong, that's an indication you're maturing. Because you're not strong spiritually and flailing around as a baby. You're not strong spiritually and being tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You're strong, you're going to be strong, starting to get stable and settled, which is what we want. Spiritually mature, a spiritual person is somebody that is strong spiritually, that has matured, that has grown up. Look at Ephesians 6:10. Again, we're just introducing some of these things. We'll see. We're just going to go with the flow here going forward, but introducing a few things. Ephesians 6:10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You're strong. You can be strong physically. You can be strong mentally and emotionally. But strong spiritually is going to affect those other areas. As we grow up, it has to affect those other areas. There is no such thing as a mature person spiritually that is not affecting their mental, emotional, and physical realms. Well, I'm a giant, you know, spiritually. I have trouble with all this stuff in the natural. The stronger we are spiritually, the more we're going to affect our natural. The more mature we are, the more it's going to affect our outer man. It would be better for us to have a strong inner man and weak outer man than to have a strong outer man and a weak inner man. Because if you're strong in your inner man, you can get the outer man taken care of. And the Bible says that a strong spirit will hold you up in weakness, in sickness. But if you are weak spiritually, you can be strong on the outside and you can still go down really fast, right? You're weak, you start letting that affect you, and your spirit is not built up, and you start getting down about everything. That's how people just go into the ground really quick. Their physique could be great, but their inner man, not strong, goes down. But if, on the other hand, you're strong, you built up strong spiritually, you can affect your mind, you can affect your body, and you can change, you can come up. But we're to be strong in him, strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Let's look on your sheet there. Luke 1:80 says, "So the child grew," this is talking about John the Baptist, "and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his manifestation to Israel." He became strong in spirit. Luke 2:40, "And the child grew and became strong in spirit," Jesus. Well, he grew. "Filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Look at your sheet there. Just look at a couple scriptures and we'll wrap up. Colossians 1:9. It says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might." Strong. And what does it say right before that? "You may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him." What do we know? There, you believe God. You're walking in faith. "Being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might." That's getting strong. That's not just wallowing around the corner. That's not talking a good talk. That's doing something. "According to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy." Real quick, Hebrews 11:6 on your sheet there, it says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And this is where I wanted to get to, and we'll end. Luke 3:21 on your sheet, it says, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, 'You are My beloved Son, in You I am well pleased.'" What do we know about Jesus then? Without faith, it's impossible to please the Father. And God said, "I'm well pleased with Him." What does that mean? Jesus was walking in faith. Jesus was walking in strength. We see that He was growing strong in spirit. That's when He was a boy. Now He's 30. He wasn't 80. He wasn't 90. He wasn't 70. The Son of God had to grow as a person. He was a baby. I'm talking about physically. Somebody had to change Jesus' diaper. He didn't come out walking on water just knowing who He was. He had to come to the realization of who He was and walk by the Spirit of God and yield to His Spirit. Now, He didn't have to be born again. He didn't ever die spiritually. Now, let's just touch on this. We've touched on it before. But a baby comes to the earth. A baby is innocent. So look at Romans 7. Go to verse 7. It says, "What shall we say then? Is law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.' But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law." Is he dead now? Physically? Who's writing this? Paul? Was he dead?
No.
No. "I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died." Again, is he dead?
No.
No, he's alive. What's he talking about? Spiritually. He was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, he died. He rebelled. "The commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good." Now, I'm just touching on this. We talked about it before, but in context of what we're talking about, babies in the natural have spirits that are alive to God. They came. Where did they come from? Who created the human spirit? God. See, some religions, denominations, they teach that somehow the baby is dead, and so they've made a doctrine of baptism that you have to have the baby sprinkled so that it'll be saved, and then they have it confirmed later. That's not what the Bible teaches. You are saved by faith. A baby sitting there like this cannot believe anything. Baby cannot comprehend. You are saved by faith. And it tells you in Romans how to get saved. We believe that he died and rose. He rose from the dead for us, for our justification. You have to believe that. Baby can't believe that. A baby's innocent. So baby, there comes a time, though, where the child knows what to do and understands and rebels. And that's what Paul's talking about. And at that point, the child needs to be born again. Now, Jesus never died. As far as when he was walking the earth, he was the reason. He was the Savior. And with children that come into a Christian home, they can just go right over. I mean, if they receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they can just go right over. They don't have to die if they understand. But children are alive to God. But Jesus walked this earth. He was strong in spirit. He was well-pleasing to the Father. And how many of you know he was mature as it gets spiritually? How many of you know what he believed dictated what he did? So much so that he could look at crucifixion in the eye and say, not what I want, but I'll do this. And with all that, the weight, you don't believe, I mean, you think you've gotten hit by thoughts and feelings. Satan himself was tempting Jesus. Most of us in here have probably never come into contact with Satan himself. Maybe. Most likely it's demonic. It's a demon. It's somebody ranked under. But Satan himself was pressing on. Jesus had flesh. Jesus had a mind and has a mind. He was there, and all of hell was pressing down on him. Talk about pressure. Yet he was strong. He's the Savior. Pushed through it and said, I will go to the cross for the joy set before him. The Bible says he pushed through it all and he said, no, I will not go to the right or the left. I will go and complete the work. And this is where we're getting ahead of ourselves, but a spiritual person. How many of you know a baby will... Whatever goes wrong, they're just going to be flipping out. You know, their diaper's wet, whatever. Child complain about stuff. A spiritual person will say, what am I supposed to do? They will do what the Word tells them to do, and they will influence their body, influence their mind, because their spirit is strong, and they'll walk in the light of the Word. Now, we're going to get into it, but that's a spiritual person lets their Bible-formed beliefs dictate what they say, they think, they do.